What's up, sunshine? I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10, the best 10 minutes in news because of you. Hope you're feeling good, feeling great. We start today. Happy April Fools. Keep your head on a swivel because there are pranksters on the prowl for the annual April 1st custom consisting of practical jokes and hoaxes. No one is safe. All right. Let's do this for real. We start today with the economy. There are two main parts of the economy. There's Wall Street, or the stock market, and there's Main Street, also called the real economy. Let's start with Main Street. When you buy groceries or pay for a new streaming service, you are participating in the real economy. These are the goods and services we buy and sell every day. Right now, the real economy, the cost of goods and services, well, those prices are not so great. Prices have gone up because of inflation, and inflation is just okay lately. Not great, not terrible, just okay. But there are signs that inflation could get worse, meaning prices could go up. And that leads us to the second part of the economy, Wall Street. Wall Street is the stock market. In the stock market, you can buy small parts of companies. Of course, we know them as shares or stocks. Most people buy a share of a company because they think the company is going to do well, and the value of that share will go up. The stock market is a little more complicated than that, of course, but that's the basic idea. Wall Street and Main Street are often connected. If things aren't going well on Main Street in the real economy, then investors on Wall Street sell their shares because they think maybe the value of the stocks they own are likely to go down because companies might struggle. Our Matt Egan breaks down some of the latest economic numbers that show us where Wall Street and Main Street may be headed.
The latest slew of economic indicators did not paint a very inspiring picture about how the U.S. economy is holding up amid all of this turbulence out of Washington. And these new economic numbers did not sit well with investors on Wall Street, with U.S. stocks experiencing another bout of turbulence ahead of next week's significant announcements on tariffs. So let me run you through some of the key findings from today's economic reports. First, the Fed's go-to inflation metric found that Americans are saving more and they're spending next ahead of tariffs. And this report also suggested that inflation's kind of stuck in this no man's land, right? Not as bad as a few years ago, but also not great. Core inflation, which excludes food and energy, it heated up in February. That's significant because economists say that core inflation is a better indicator of underlying pricing pressures. And keep in mind, these are numbers for February, so they don't fully capture the elephant in the room, the trade war, right? This is price changes before much of the tariffs, including the tariffs on steel and aluminum, the tariffs on Canada and Mexico, and some of the tariffs on China, for all of that even kicked in. And we know the cost of living, of course, is a major concern right now. And so there was another disappointing confidence report out. This is from the University of Michigan. And not only did it find that consumer sentiment fell sharply in March, but some of the underlying indicators here were also concerning. Consumers' outlook for the future fell significantly. Two-thirds of consumers are now expecting unemployment to increase. That's the most since the Great Recession. And consumer expectations around inflation, price increases, they heated up to the highest level since 1993. Market veteran Art Hogan, he told me he's not shocked to see consumers expecting higher inflation. This is the worst trade war since William McKinley was in the White House. This finding from University of Michigan was striking. They said that this month's decline reflects a clear consensus across all demographics and political affiliations. Republicans joined independents and Democrats in expressing worsening expectations since February for their personal finances, business conditions, unemployment, and inflation. I think the growing concern on Wall Street is that weak consumer confidence will eventually cause people to kind of hunker down and spend less money. And of course, that's where the real trouble would come for an economy that is really built on consumer spending.
Pop quiz hot shot. When was the first drone ever flown? 1899, 1917, 1948, or 2001? If you said 1917, you're so money. That's when the first vehicle without a pilot flew. A small radio-operated aircraft called the Aerial Target was tested by the British during the First World War. In Germany, a company has mashed up two kinds of technologies, drones and artificial intelligence, to try to solve a very pressing issue for many communities around the world. Our Nick Valencia has more.
Over the past two decades, extreme wildfires have become more frequent, more intense, and larger, according to NASA. Now, a wildfire detection company in Germany is developing a drone that uses artificial intelligence to help firefighters suppress wildfires in their early stages. This week, Dryad successfully demonstrated its first fully functional prototype, called Silvaguard. The drone system detected a controlled fire's location and size using AI.
It provides ultra-early detection of wildfires within minutes from ignition using AI-driven sensors that are electronic noses. And they can detect fires much faster than cameras or satellites.
The idea is to allow firefighters to respond before flames spread. The drone can capture infrared imagery and provide an overhead view for firefighters.
The importance of Silvaguard is that it is the first autonomous end-to-end system that detects fires using artificial intelligence and then uses autonomous drones to fly to the location of a fire without a pilot being involved and delivering precise information about the size and threat of a fire.
Dryad's new technology, if used widely, could also have an impact on carbon emissions. From 2001 to 2023, wildfires caused a loss of more than 138 million hectares of tree cover worldwide, according to Global Forest Watch. That's larger than the country of Peru. Researchers found that carbon emissions from forest fires increased by 60% globally during that time. Dryad hopes its efforts will help prevent 1.1 billion metric tons of CO2 emissions by 2030. The European Union is co-funding the Silvaguard project with 3.8 million euros, or $4.1 million. The project's next step will be to add fire suppression capabilities and eventually real-world deployment.
What we actually need to achieve is we need to detect and extinguish fires within 10 minutes from ignition. That's our mission, that's our vision, and Silvaguard, demonstrated here today, is a big milestone towards that vision.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks baseball is back. And MLB teams are busting out all sorts of egregious gut-busting grub in an attempt to dazzle fans. The Yankees have this tiramisu helmet. Espresso, mascarpone cream, ladyfinger cookies, cocoa powder. And check out this behemoth. The Orioles rolling out a double burger with queso fundido, pickle pico de gallo, fried onions on a pretzel bun. What say you? How do you attack that? Now the White Sox, they're breaking out the unicorn. A batter-dipped corn dog, marshmallow base, drizzled with sweet condensed milk and fruity pebbles on top. Do you love it or do you loathe it? Basically cereal on a corn dog. Not sure how I feel about that. Now, White Sox fans, they're hoping to turn their fortunes around because last season they posted the worst season in MLB history. And some say they found a solution, a little help from the great beyond.
Crusty old baseball, sullen Chicago White Sox fans think may be responsible for a historically bad season. The team claimed a heinous 121 losses last year, earning them the nickname the Stinky Sox, a phrase coined by, well, me right now. But Sox diehards say the losses started around the time this World Series baseball from 1919, found hidden in Chicago's Tribune building, was moved to a sports museum. An outcry from fans, both superstitious and or even a little stitious, resulted in the ball being moved back to the Tribune building in an attempt to break the so-called curse and clear the way for high scores galore. Yeah, that ought to do it.
I'm not superstitious either, Jeremy Roth, just a little bit stitious. Thank you, sir. All right, it is time for our shout-out of the day, and this one goes to Mayfair Laboratory School in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, home of the Tigers. I see you, big cats. Rise up. Today's a beautiful day, if we make it that way. Sending y'all some good vibes and sparks of joy. Let's do it again tomorrow, shall we? Right here on CNN 10.